Welcome to First Baptist Church, Sun City West. It's a beautiful day on this May 3rd, and I hope that you are enjoying the warm weather that we have right now. The flowers are blooming, and guess what? At our house, the bees are all around the pool, so that makes it a little bit more difficult to swim, but it tells us that spring is in full swing. And even though we are in a pandemic, and you are at home watching, this is a time that we can celebrate God's creation, all the things that he does for us, our ability to slow down a little bit and reach out to some folks that might be isolated. Share a little bit of a message that you're going to hear today and the songs that we're going to sing. Share them with others. But right now, let us have a time of prayer, and then let's join together in our homes and here at the church and sing the praises to Almighty God. Father, thank you for our time. I pray that you will give us encouragement and strength. I pray that for every single person that is in their homes, Father, they will have their Bibles open, their spirits ready, their ability to listen and hear what you have to say through the power of your Spirit. And I pray all of us will be edified, encouraged, and challenged to do ministry even in this time, that we will be able to touch the lives of people that desperately, desperately need it. Because God, you are the God of compassion, the God of the poor, the orphan, the widow. Father, you put your loving arms around all of us with unconditional love. And today we need that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let's get up and let's sing our songs of praise and worship and give God all the honor and glory.
All hail King Jesus. Ever seen or heard. who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
At the end of broken dreams.
What a beautiful song. And I tell you, the message of that song is a challenge for us. In this pandemic, we have had over 200,000 people around the world that have died. We're reaching, approaching, if we haven't already, had 60,000 in our own country. When people pass, they go to eternity and they meet God. And it's our challenge as believers in Jesus Christ to do everything we can by any means to share the gospel of Christ. Even in the most difficult of times, which is where we are and where the person that we're going to talk about this morning. You have your Bibles, or you'll be able to see it on the screen. One verse, Job 40 and verse 9. Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like His? Would you join me in prayer? Father, we are mindful of fear, of anxious feelings, of a sense of lostness, in some cases a loss of hope, hopelessness. Father, I pray that through what we read and what we understand in the book of Job and about Job this morning will give us a great understanding of how we can be hopeful. We do not have to be defeated. Even though there are times of difficulties, God, we're going to find that You are always there, and not just cognizant of that in our minds, but Father, it is a reality that Your presence is with us, each one of us, no matter what we go through. And I pray this morning that will become crystal clear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 2015, going into 2016, a guy by the name of James Robertson, who had been walking to work 21 miles to his factory job outside of his town of Detroit, he had been doing that for almost a decade. Can you imagine that? Walking 21 miles to work and home every single day, no matter what the weather is, for 10 years. Well, the reality is that he couldn't afford to fix his vehicle. There wasn't any way. And so he just had to take care of his family. He knew they needed it. And so for 10 years, he walked 21 miles every single day. Well, news of that got out by the Detroit Free Press. They talked about him, gave him an interview, talked about his story. And you know what? Within just a few days, the Suburban Ford dealership brought him into their dealership in Detroit. They said, you can pick out any car among these that you want. And you know the car he picked out? A Ford Taurus. He said, it's a lot like me. He said, it's simple on the outside and strong on the inside, like me. In addition to that, more than $300,000 came in donations just to help he and his family. Boy, I tell you what, that is the American dream, isn't it? To some degree. Going from rags to riches, some difficult life to being able to have a life that is less than difficult. We see, though, a remarkable turnabout in the life of Job. You see, Job, he went from riches to rags. The first five verses of the book of Job, it pictures him as a man with spotless character, one who had great business skill, serious in his religious commitment, and singularly blessed by his family and in his family. It is remarkable. The Bible says in verse 3, he is the greatest of all men in the East. That says a lot, doesn't it? Well, I think it does. We find that tragedy struck Job not too far apart. His family was destroyed. His wealth was taken away, his health was affected, his reputation and his religious commitment were called into question. Job, he was a man in trouble. In fact, you could say that his world was falling apart. A major section of the book describes Job and his three friends. His three friends, who are supposed to be encouraging, It's ought to be lifting him up. In reality, rather than giving him relief, they intensified the feeling within Job that he had been treated unfairly, that life had mistreated him. And in the end case, he's made the case against God. Job accused God of injustice, he accused God of indifference, and he accused God of incompetence. Can you imagine that? In the midst of his darkness, Job shouted out, "Why has this happened to me?" I think probably most of you in your homes today can understand that cry. At some point in your life, you have probably said, "Why has this happened to me?" God responded to Job, not with an answer, but with a question. God did not explain his actions. He did not defend his action. Rather, he asked Job a question of penetrating importance. He said, "Do you have an arm like God?" What an interesting question. Over 40 times in the Old Testament, the reference is made to the arm of God. It's called a mighty arm, a holy arm, a glorious arm, an outreached arm, an outstanding arm. It's an arm that is powerful. All through the Scriptures, it gives us that understanding. The question is, what does it mean? It's a symbol. We know that. The arm of God is a symbol, but what does it mean? Well, what does God mean when he confronted Job with the question, "Is your arm greater than God's arm?" Well, the arm is a major member putting into effect the act of the will or the decisions of the will of man. When we think what we want to do, then we go to action. And it's symbolically, the arms take those actions. It's the same way with God. The fact is that if it focuses upon man's strength and his power, what God is saying is the same thing. The arm of God refers to his strength or his power. Why is that important? Because God is going to help Job to understand. He's going to help him to understand that it is his strength and power that will get him through anything in life. You see, God responded when Job cried out with despair. He responded with an answer to his, not an answer to his questions, not an explanation of his suffering. And that many times is what we want, an explanation. But with a ringing reminder of his power and his glory and his majesty, he says, "Does anyone have an arm like me?" And I think that's a message for us today. When we think about it, in this pandemic, we have come to understand, we've come to realize that we don't control things. That the arm of man that is supposed to be so powerful and in strength can do absolutely nothing in the face of this coronavirus. For many, it's like our world is falling apart. It's so different than it was just 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago. You see, our greatest need is not to have all of our questions answered, because most of our questions, quite frankly, are meaningless. Our greatest need is not to have our suffering explained. Why is this happening to me? Because you know what? Even if God did try to answer our question of suffering, we with our finite minds would not even be able to comprehend the magnitude and the depth of why suffering occurs. But you see, our greatest need in the midst of darkness in our day, in the situation we're in today, when it seems like our world is falling apart, is the reminder of the sufficiency and the might and the power of God. We today need to be reminded that God, whom we worship, is not weak. He is not incompetent. He is a God who is able. He's able to bring down the proud. He's able to lift up those who are discouraged, to defeat evil, and to meet every single need of our lives. We need to be reminded that no one has an arm like God. And so there are three questions that I want to ask this morning. And I want to address, first, how powerful is the arm of God? Well, again, we go back to that same question. Who has an arm like God? We know no one does. No one has his might. No one has his strength. Only God sustains this world. We cannot. You see, his power is seen in his creation. God passed before Job a panoramic view of the universe, the many mysteries of the heavens and the earth in chapter 38 of Job. And then he focused equally on the mystery and the focus of the world of creation, the living creatures, in chapters 38 and 39. We come to this understanding that as God brought all of those creation that God spoke into existence before the eyes of Job, he asked Job if he was equal to that creation or to that government of what he saw. And you know what Job said? He said no. In this time when we have paused, we're not moving around near as much. We're not busy like we were. Have you been able to stop and really let God speak to you about His creation? About how powerful, how majestic it is? Have you gone out at night and just looked at the stars? During the daytime and just watched all the living creatures? I sat in our back porch and I just watched in our backyard the other day. I can't tell you how many different kinds of birds I saw. I saw also bees. There were flies. There were gnats. There was a lizard making its way across. So much in creation that, quite frankly, on an ongoing day, I would not stop and look. This is a time for us to see God's creation and then realize how mighty and powerful He is. You know, the ability to send rockets and capsules and space shuttles and satellites through space at incredible speeds, well, that's a significant accomplishment for humankind. But before we think too highly of that accomplishment, we have got to always consider that our man-made instruments are barely moving in comparison to the universe that God created and God sustained. For example, let's take Earth. If you were to read 75 pages in a book, no matter how fast or how slow, give or take, the Earth would have moved 50,000 miles. The Earth travels around the sun at a speed of 1.6 million miles per day. And at the same time, the Earth is rotating on its axis. And somehow, through it all, we actually don't fall off the Earth. We're able to stay right here, able to walk. Some people able to run. It is amazing what God has done. But you know, sometimes we just don't realize it. We see the minor difficulties of life, which can be major in our life, but in the spectrum of the universe and how powerful God is, He's the one that we need to hold on to, not our own creativity. His power is also seen in His love for sustaining this creation. Like Job, we often cry out in anguish, God, do something, say something that will make me understand that there is something spectacular out there. Just let a star fall, a falling star. Let the earth stop for just a minute, and then I'll know that you are still here. You are in control. All the while, God is showing us every single day the beautiful stars in the sky. And He keeps the earth hurling through space at its predetermined pattern. And we look at ourselves when we ought to be looking to God. God's love is seen in His sustaining of creation. Who has an arm like God? No one. For His mighty arm sustains the world, even when it seems like our world is falling apart. The second question, how does the arm of God show the way? Well, the arm of God shows the way in a very particular process. You see, He becomes involved in the lives of His people. You know how significant that is? He engages and invests in your life. God becomes involved in the lives of His people. We see the incredible message the Bible gives that He is the one who sustains in all of its majesty. He is the one who invests. In other words, he cares about you. If he cares about the birds that fall from the sky and the number of hairs we have on our head, then absolutely, he cares about you. And he cares about the things that you care about. And he wants to involve himself to the greatest degree if you will allow him to. You see, he did not just create the universe and go off on a journey or fall asleep or in some way become disinterested. And that view is reminiscent of Elijah's statement to the priest of Baal, if you remember, in 1 Kings 18:27. He said, "Shout louder. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he is in deep thought or busy or traveling. Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he needs to be awakened." No, this is the great truth with which God confronted Job. God did not erase the hurt that Job felt. He did not explain the tragedy that Job had gone through. He did not directly answer the charges that Job laid against him. What God did do was to plant within the mind of Job that exhilarating reminder of the process of life, that God is exerting his daily leadership in the lives of people. No matter what they go through, no matter how difficult the journey, God and his leadership continues as we allow him to walk with us through every single thing. We also see that God guides and directs his people. How does he do that? Well, there are three road signs that point the way to us: the commandment of Scripture, the communication of God's Spirit, and the combination of situations and circumstances in our life that God uses. About the Scriptures, Jesus said in John chapter 8, the latter part of verse 31 and verse 32, "If you hold to my teachings, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's an interesting word, that word hold. If you hold to my teaching, it means to abide, to continue, to remain. In other words, we don't need to go off. For following the teachings of Jesus, we need to stay right with it. He says, if you hold to my teachings, if you focus on them, if they become the priority of your life, if you continue to abide in them, which means you are right in the midst of them, then you, he says, will be, or you really are, my disciples. And that actually means an authentic believer. If you want to be an authentic believer in Jesus Christ, actually being obedient to him, you will hold to his teachings. And he says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Set you free from all the burdens and the worries of this life, but allow God's word and the power of his Spirit to guide us through these most difficult times. About the Spirit, Jesus said in John 16, 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." There's that word guide. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "When I leave, he will come to you. The Spirit of truth, and he will guide." It didn't say he might, but will. He will guide you. That word guide means to lead. He will lead you. He will lead you into the sphere of everything that is of truth in this life. He will be your teacher, but you have to listen. You have to abide, hold, guide, he says. And then we have the third, the guidance of God in the situations and circumstances of life. We have to be cautious here, because just because we've had experiences in the past where God has moved in a powerful way doesn't mean we can take those experiences and superimpose them where we are today. But we do understand through Scripture that God has used situations and circumstances to very much guide us. We see this throughout Scripture, but there is a particular passage in Acts chapter 16. And in fact, if you read that whole chapter, you will get an understanding of how God is using situations and circumstances. But in chapter 10, God is opening and closing doors for the Apostle Paul. And Luke said in verse 10, Acts 16, "After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them." That is as straightforward as you can be. Now, most of us have dreams at night. Someone asked me the other day, he says, what do you think my dreams mean? I said, well, I can only tell you what I think. And most of my dreams, I'd say 99.9% of my dreams, either is something I ate or experiences that I've had over the last few days that somehow, as my mind is defragmenting, they all kind of come together and they have weird, weird things that happen. When God has spoken to me, I will tell you, it has not been in dreams, but it has been with this quiet, small voice and this sense of peace in my mind and my soul and my heart. But God did speak to Paul in a vision. And God does speak in various ways to various people. We see here that Paul had a heart to go to Troas. He wanted to. That's where he wanted to go to communicate the gospel. But you see, God, through his Spirit and through this vision, led Paul, guided Paul, because Paul was holding on. He was holding on to God's teaching. And it guided him to Macedonia, to where there was an outpouring of God's Spirit. God guides and directs his people, and I hope that he's guiding and directing you on an ongoing basis. Again, we ask the question, whose arm is like God's? No one, for his mighty arm, with that he shows the way. A third question, how does the arm of God strengthen the weak? Let me ask you one more time. Who has an arm that is as strong as God's? No one. For with his mighty arm, he's the one who strengthens the weak. The ultimate result of Job's encounter with God is that Job experienced strength that enabled him to make it through these very dark times. I can't even imagine how dark that season was for Job. But somehow, his encounter with God gave him the strength to walk through it and on to the other side. Job's world was falling apart, but God was there. You see, his strength sees you through anything. The good news of God's word is that his mighty arm, with that arm, he's able to give you the strength to go through anything. And I'm telling you, every single one of you that are watching at home, you have been through very difficult things, and maybe you're going through some right now. And if it's not right now, I promise you, around the corner, there will be difficult things, things that you can't imagine. But God is going to be there, and his strength is going to be there to get you through. I reflect back on an experience that I had with my mom. In August of 1995, she had a knee replacement. In August of 1996, she had the other knee replaced. It was during that time that we moved from New Mexico up to Seattle. In May of 1997, she went to go visit my brother in Houston, and getting off the airplane, she fell and broke her hip. That was quite an ordeal. And then in February 1998, the doctors discovered a very fast-growing cancer in my mom's breast. In these few short years, 95, 96, 97, 98, my mom went through so much. The doctors gave her a 25% chance of survival over 2 years. She began her treatments. She endured 7 weeks of radiation, numerous weeks of chemotherapy. Every time I would call from Seattle, I would ask her, Mom, how you doing? And she said, oh, I'm doing fine. Then I talked to my sister who lived there, was taking care of her, said Mom was sick every single day. The chemotherapy was just so hard on her. When I talked to the doctor through these treatments, he said, listen, I want to tell you that I have increased your mom's percentage of survival to 50%, not because of anything medically that we've done, but because of her attitude. Your mom has the best attitude of any patient I have ever had in my life, and that alone will give her a good chance of survival. And survive, she did. She lived another 15 years and died at the age of 91. She went through a lot. One thing after another after another. Those were dark times. Those were difficult times. I asked her, Mom, how did you make all that? How did you get through all that? she said this, "It is God alone who strengthened me through these trying years." God alone. God's strength will see you through anything, and He's going to see you through this pandemic. He is going to guide you and encourage you. He's going to give you the strength when you don't think you can spend another day in the house. He's going to strengthen you if you'll let Him. When you have other issues in the midst of this pandemic, and it just seems like it's too much to bear, whether it's a financial issue, whether it's a different kind of illness or disease, whether it's a situation with your family, I promise you, the arm of God is mighty and strong, and He will strengthen you to get you through if you will trust Him in its entirety and Him alone. A few days back, I asked somebody a question. They said, "Well, I've given that to the Lord." And I said, "Okay, are you having any anxious feelings with it?" He says, "Yeah, I still have anxious feelings." I said, "Then you didn't give it to the Lord. You took it back." You can't give it to the Lord and take it back. It's good to give it to the Lord. You're saying, "Okay, I'm going to give that to you. Your strength will take care of it. I don't have to worry about it anymore." And so we let it go. That's what it means to let God, through His strength, take on and get you through any circumstance. Also, we find that His mighty arm will burst into your life in your time of need. God might come to you in a whirlwind like He did Job, or in the still small voice like He did Elijah. He might come to you in a blinding appearance like He did on the Damascus Road with the Apostle Paul, or in the solemn stillness of the night like He did with Samuel. He might come to you in the solitude of the wilderness like He did Moses, or worshiping with a multitude like He did Isaiah when He spoke to him. Let me tell you, God will burst into your life with His mighty arm. He will give you the inner resources to face every single difficulty of life, even when it seems like you are or your world is falling apart. His strength, His might, His power, His commitment, 100% with you. He is invested in your life. I love Carlsbad Caverns. I've been there on a number of occasions. When I was small, I was there when they used to turn out the lights. And that reminded me of a family, a father and a mother and two children. They went to the very deepest part of the cavern, and the guide suddenly turned out the lights. Do you know what total darkness is? That's total darkness. Well, out of the darkness, there were two sounds. The first was the startled cry of the little girl who had been surprised by the darkness. The other sound was the little brother saying, "Don't cry, little sister. There is someone here who knows how to turn on the switch." Let me tell you, when you're in total darkness, or when it seems like that your life is in total darkness, and it's the darkest season that you can imagine, you can know, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you can know that you know the person that can turn on the light. Whose arm is mightier, stronger than the arm of God? Not yours, not mine. He's the one, the God of creation, who still engages in your life and in what you're going through and what you're going through today. Last week we sang, "God's got the whole world in His hands." Let me tell you, He guides the pathway of those who will listen to His voice. He can transform a bleak, desolate valley of darkness into sunlit paths of joy. No one has an arm like God. And so my question today is, are you trusting that arm 100%? Are you giving it to Him and just resting in His peace, that inner peace that only He can give? Or do you keep taking that back? Today, I'm going to ask you to trust Him. Trust Him for salvation if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's very simple. Just asking, recognizing that you're a sinner, you've sinned, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was raised up for your resurrection, for your justification. Therefore, we can also be resurrected when the time comes. And so simply going to Jesus and praying to him right where you are, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I'm asking you to forgive me, to take away my sins. I repent of them. I confess them. And I'm going to strive to live for you the rest of the days of my life. A simple prayer by yourself or with somebody else around, Jesus will listen if you are genuine and sincere. So trust him for salvation. Trust him for guidance in your daily decisions as you navigate through this coronavirus. Trust him for strength in your hour of challenge. There are particular hours of the day that are more challenging in these days than others. It's in those times that we really concentrate fervently in prayer for God to get us through that very difficult hour. Trust him completely. And if you will, I promise, the power and the strength and the might of the arm of God will be with you. He promises that. Accept his promise, because he never lies. Let's pray together. Father, I pray in this prayer of invitation that you will hear those who are seeking you. You will hear those that are praying for salvation, for direction through these difficult times, for those who are struggling to trust you 100%. And I pray that, God, you would hear and you would listen and you would intervene personally in their lives and their prayers of commitment. Be with us as a church that we're scattered through Sun City West and Sun City Grand, Peoria, and Glendale. Father, I pray that you will give us the ability to be the church on mission where we are. Give us the power and the strength. Give us the passion and the compassion. The First Baptist Church Sun City West is known because we know you and are making you known. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that last past week, we met with our leadership team, and there was a wonderful consensus about how we needed to approach our opening our services. And there was a consensus among all of those who were there that we continue to pause our services until June. There's just so many issues going on. We are a senior adult church. Our concern is the health and the welfare of our church family. So I'm going to ask you to draw upon the strength of God in these days of May. Continue to pray for the leadership team as they continue to monitor everything that goes on. And we look forward to the day that we can come back together and worship, even if it's under some guidelines like social distancing. Until then, be about the Lord's work. Continue to pray fervently, and let's communicate the gospel everywhere. Have a great rest of your Sunday, and we'll look forward to seeing you again May 10th, Mother's Day, in just a few days.